tasya, of him. Atma tantrasya, being self-sufficient, not dependent on any other person. Harehe, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Adistitu, who is the master of everything. Parasya, the transcendence. Maya Adipati, the master of the illusory energy. Maha Atmanaha, of the Supreme Soul. Prayena, almost. Dutaha, the order carriers. Iha, in this world. Vai, indeed. Manoharaha, pleasing in their dealings and bodily features. Charanti, they move. Tat, of him. Rupa, possessing the bodily features. Guna, the transcendental qualities. Swabhavaha, and nature. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is self-sufficient and fully independent. He is the master of everyone and everything, including the illusory energy. He has his form, qualities, and features. And similarly, his order carriers, the Vaishnavas, who are very beautiful, possess bodily features, transcendental qualities, and a transcendental nature, almost like his. They always wander within this world with full independence. Purport. Yamaraja was describing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Controller, but the order carriers of Yamaraja were very eager to know about the Vishnu Dutas, who had defeated them in their encounter with Ajamila. Yamaraja therefore stated that the Vishnu Dutas resemble the Supreme Personality of Godhead in their bodily features, transcendental qualities, and nature. In other words, the Vishnu Dutas, or Vaishnavas, are almost as qualified as the Supreme Lord. Yamaraja informed the Yamadutas that the Vishnu Dutas are no less powerful than Lord Vishnu. Since Vishnu is above Yamaraja, the Vishnu Dutas are above the Yamadutas. Persons protected by the Vishnu Dutas, therefore, cannot be touched by the Yamadutas. Tasyatma tantrasya harer adishtitu, parasya maya di pater mahatmanaha, prayena duta I havai mano haras, charanti tad rupa guna swabhavaha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is self-sufficient and fully independent. He is the master of everyone and everything, including the illusory energy. He has his form, qualities, and features, and similarly his order carriers, the Vaishnavas, who are very beautiful, possess bodily features, transcendental qualities, and a transcendental nature almost like his. They always wander within this world with full independence. So the Yamadutas, having been defeated by the Vishnu Dutas, which was very unusual for them, right? As Maharaj Prickett said, we've never heard any instance where the Yamadutas were defeated by the Vishnu Dutas. Are you going to be translating into Russian? So I'll just wait a minute. I'll just wait. Tell me when you're ready. Tell me when you are ready. Are you ready? Yes? Not yet. Are you ready? Okay? Okay. So, the Yamadutas generally don't get defeated. Oh, yet either of you translators, if I go too fast, just or if there's a word you don't understand, just ask me, okay? Yes? Deal? Okay, very good. So they were confused, when you look at the beginning of this chapter, about two things. The first thing is very important for our preaching to the general public. The Yamadutas said, how can there be two gods? How can there be more than one controller? So that's a very important question, because when we look at nature, yesterday evening we were talking about what we can understand just by observing. So if we observe nature, we understand there must be a creator. Somebody has created it. But maybe somebody is maintaining it. But maybe it's a committee, right? Maybe it's a board. You understand? A group. Just like,
Slow?
Oh, you want me to do piece? Sure, I can do piece. Is that okay with everybody else? You won't all fall asleep? Piece is much slower. How far back do you want me to go? Do you want me to go back to the beginning? How far? Few sentences. No problem. I do this all the time. So the Yamadutas had two main questions. The first question is especially important in our preaching. Because we look at nature and try to understand that there must be a creator and a maintainer. But how do we know if it's one or many? And indeed, in many societies, they assume there's many gods. The Yamadutas say that's not very practical, because then they will disagree. Just like ISKCON is run by a committee, the GBC. And they don't all agree. We presented, the Shastric Advisory Council made a presentation to the GBC. You can talk a little louder. If you actually talk a little louder, number one, they will be able to hear you, and number two, I will know when you are done. So if it's simultaneous, you have to be quiet. If it's piece, you can actually be much, much louder. It would be helpful for me and for them. So we made a presentation to the GBC, and we got a unanimous approval. Everybody agreed. And we were told, this is very unusual, that everybody will agree. So the Yamadutas say you must have one God. Otherwise, if you have a group, so one person will say, this person should be punished. And another person will say, no, he should be rewarded. Then they had another question. Who were those beautiful people who took away Ajamil? He was our catch. He was our possession. But they took him away. So the Yamadutas were very eager and enthusiastic to know the answers to this question, because it directly impacted their own lives and their own job. Right? You have a job working for Yamaraj. By the way, what kind of people do you think get a job working for Yamaraj? Huh? Not really envious, no. So they're working for a pure devotee. Yes! People who are very attached to everybody has to be following Dharma. But they also want people who don't follow Dharma to suffer. They want them to be punished. Right? And they get very angry whenever somebody's not following Dharma. Have you met some people like this in ISKCON? They will say, that devotee, they did something that was not according to Dharma. Punish him! Tear him down. Cut him up into little pieces. these people should be very careful. Or they may become Yamadutas instead of going back to Godhead. So, anyway, they were very interested because this is their service. And similarly, our Yamadutas in ISKCON, they also have these questions. That devotee was not following Dharma. But he was excused by the ISKCON authorities. Terrible. Why did they excuse him? Do we have people like this? Yes. Yes, we do. And they're saying, how did these people have more power than we had? Of course, you notice the Vishnu Dutas are very beautiful. It's saying here, Mano Hara. Mano means mind, Hara means to steal. So you see these Vishnu Dutas and you're just captivated. Of course, the Yamadutas are not like that. You see them and you want to run away. they are very ugly. Just think about this for a moment. The form is a manifestation of the mentality. So Yamaraj here is going from his servant's first question to their second question in this verse. He's explaining the nature of God, and now he's explaining the nature of the Vishnu Dutas. He says, God is the master of everything and the supreme soul. He's the master of illusion, and he's completely independent. This quality of independence is very relevant to the Yamadutas. Because it seemed that he violated their ordinary understanding of Dharma. Because the Yamadutas were saying, this Ajamil, he's broken Dharma, but Vishnu just said, no, sorry, you're wrong. But if we want to understand the Lord as a person, that is a little difficult. That was explained in the previous verse. Because the eyes can see the arms, but the arms cannot see the eyes. So the Lord can see us, but we cannot see him. Even though he's in our heart. So how are we going to understand him as a person? We can look at his devotees. But because here it is saying the pure devotees are almost like him. Prayena, they're almost like him. In fact, many times when people see the Vishnu Dutas, they think it's God. This happened to Gopakumar when he went to Vaikuntha. He kept seeing the Vishnu Dutas and saying, Jai Shri Vishnu. And they'd say, no, I am servant. And so here it's explained that the Vishnu Dutas, their form, their qualities, everything is very much like the Lord. So the best way to teach people about the Lord, if we want to preach Krishna consciousness, is we should also manifest qualities like the Lord. Yes? Just like my, I hope you can follow this in translation, my daughter-in-law's parents asked Prabhupada, what is the best way to preach? Can you understand that? My daughter-in-law's parents. So that's the wife of my son, her mother and father. They asked Prabhupada, what is the best way to preach? This is a class in patience, right? Especially when you can't hear the translation. You have to be very patient. And Prabhupada said, just like Haridas Thakur and the prostitute, he just had her stay for 3 days. And then she wanted to become like him. So Prabhupada said, you invite someone to your house and you have them stay with you for 3 days. And then they will want to be like you. So I was recently at New Vrajdam in Hungary. And in 3 days, they had 10,000 people come for their festival. So they tried an experiment this year. And one of the things the people could choose to do was to visit the house of one of the devotees. They thought maybe 200 people will come. 1,250 people came. Imagine having so many people come through your house in 3 days. They had to clean the house 4 times a day. And they gave everyone prasadam. So after one group would finish, they are hurrying up making prasadam for the next group. And they get all their water from a well in their yard with a bucket. They take down a bucket. It's not an electric pump. So they were giving a cup of water from the well to each of the guests. And everybody was so interested. How are you living? So if we want people to know about the Lord, we should be able to say, you can meet me. And by meeting me, you can understand something about Krishna. So that's a little difficult. I think, oh, by meeting me, they will know about Krishna. By meeting me, they will know about, I don't know, Durga maybe. Or Putana or Vatsasura, but they're not going to know about Krishna. But that is what we need to do. We need to do, we Vishnu Dutas, we need to be the messengers of the Lord. And not just to talk about the Lord, but to represent him in our own character and our own behavior. So, of course, in Kali Yuga, this is very difficult. But that is our most important preaching. If we simply show the deity and we give them one of Prabhupada's books, But if we are not really Vishnu Dutas ourselves, then people will say, what is this? It's not real. Then also, if we become real Vishnu Dutas, we will have the most satisfying life. Here it says taranti, they move around. The Sanskrit word is taranti. They can go where they like. All of us would like the freedom to go wherever we want. Prabhupada says this is a need of the soul to be free. If we want to go someplace now, we have to usually use some sort of a machine to get there. And if you go to some countries, you need a passport and a visa. Like I'm going to Russia, but it's so difficult to get a visa. And very expensive also. I have to pay more money to go to Russia for 10 days than to go to India for 10 years. And much, much more difficult. They have to know exactly who I'm going to stay with and even that person's birthday. So we're not free to go where we like. And most of us cannot say that we are Manohara, that we are captivating everybody. But we see Srila Prabhupada was like this. He captivated everybody. Even people who were critical of him. Understand? Even people who were critical of him. He was able to captivate them. And he could criticize people very strongly and they didn't mind. He could tell people, you are a fool, you are a demon, and they would just smile and they would, yes, very good. Because he was so captivating. So if we want to understand what is God, we should study, you got it? We should study the activities of the great devotees. They give us some indication. And we should become also like that. Not become Yamadutas. Even though they are serving Yamaraj, and they are doing some service in the universe, that's not a very nice thing to do. We should become the real devotees. That will be our best preaching. We are putting a lot of energy into thinking, how can we spread Krishna consciousness? Maybe we have to dress differently, serve different food. But if we're not really Vishnu Dutas, then none of those things will make any difference at all. If we become actual devotees, then Manohara, we will captivate everyone's mind. One time, many, many years ago, when I went to a Rath Yatra, this was 40 years ago, so I was taking my oldest son and one other child into a museum so they could use the toilet. They were like 3 years old. And one of the guards said to me, I have never seen children so beautiful. Says, what do you feed them? And they were immediately captivating everybody. So we should also be like that. So, questions, comments? Well, just think about the mentality. He said, if the Yamadutas are serving Yamaraj, who's a pure devotee, why are they so ugly? They don't have exactly the same mentality as Yamaraj. Yamaraj's mood is actually mercy and love for the living entities. The Yamadutas want to see sinful beings suffer. I mean, again, if you think about in our own ISKCON society. So we have, many of us are concerned about justice and dharma. And some people feel, yes, we should help those who are having difficulty to come to a higher standard. And then there are those who are like, they should suffer. Throw them out. Destroy their reputation. Take away their service. Punish them, punish them. Tell everybody how terrible they are. That is an ugly mentality. When you have an ugly mentality, you get an ugly body. Also, it is part of the way they are punishing. Because it's part of the punishment that they are frightening the living entities. Yeah. Just that you're seeing them is also a punishment. Also, they like to have power through fear. There's different ways to be powerful. And one way is to make others afraid of you. So they have that mentality. You know, the Lord and his devotees can use beings with many different mentalities in service. So they're not demons. They're very, very attached to dharma. But they're nasty. They don't know the real dharma. They're attached just to the rules of dharma. Just to the rules, not to the essence of dharma. We have people like this in ISKCON. Don't be one of them. Otherwise, this is where we will go. Is that okay? Да?
The you said that the most valuable is the sense of justice.
Most valuable?
Yes, the well. Mm-hmm. You said that. You said that the most valuable is the sense of freedom. Freedom.
I don't know most valuable, but Prabhupada said it is a need of the soul.
Я не знаю, самое ли важное, но это как бы потребность души. Да? The question is, how can we use this freedom in the service of God? How to sacrifice with this sense of freedom? How to sacrifice ourselves to God and not to just to have a wish to leave something for ourselves? Not freedom like for our like ego, but the freedom to sacrifice us to God. To surrender.
Without freedom, there is no love. Love cannot be forced. The more freedom you have, the more you can actually love. Is that okay? Love has to be a choice. Okay, it is 8:47. I think I'm supposed to stop at 8:45, and it's 8:47. I can go? Okay, yes. Yes, Prabhu? Microphone needs to be free to travel around the room.
I think that we can follow sadhana, Vaidya Bhakti, very strictly. But sometimes miss to change the heart. What is the essential part of spiritual life that make us merciful, compassionate, full of love? If you understand. Yeah.
Yes. So Rupa Goswami says, Anukulena Krishnanu Shilanam. Shilanam means activity. And Jiva Goswami and Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, Srila Prabhupada explain that Shilanam is both of the body and the mind. And in the second chapter of the Nectar of Devotion, Srila Prabhupada says that sadhana bhakti begins with thinking of Krishna. So, if one is doing Vaidhi Bhakti only with one's body, that is actually not Vaidhi Bhakti. In the 12th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, look at text 8, 9, and 10. So in verse 8, Krishna says, always think of me with love. Bhakti Vinod says that verse refers to Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti. In text 9, Krishna says, if you can't do that, do Abhyas Yoga. Abhyas means practice. For the purpose of developing Icha or desire. That verse is identified as referring to Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. Then he says, if you can't do that, do Krishna Karmadi, work for me. That's not sadhana bhakti at all. You could say going from shraddha to prema, that's really like sadhu sangha. It's not really bhajana kriya. Prabhupada translates bhakti as devotional service. Not just devotion and not just service. Both. So if a person is doing vaidhi sadhana and their heart is not softening, there's two possibilities. Prabhupada said, if you're eating and you're not getting nourished, nourished, healthy, you're not getting any vitamins and minerals and protein. Then either you're not really eating, like somebody's chewing gum. They look like they're eating, but they're not actually eating. Or now they make all this fake food. No calories. That means no nutrition. Nutrition means must be calories. So it may look like food, taste something like food, but it's not food. Or else he says you have parasites and they are eating the food. You are eating real food, but the parasites are taken. So the parasites, that is like the offenses. You're doing bhakti with your mind and your body. Real vaidhi bhakti. But then, you know, you're doing real vaidhi bhakti from 4:30 in the morning until 9:30 in the morning. And then from 9:30 to 10:30 you are a Yamaduta. Doesn't matter, that's not important. So that is taking away all of the benefit of the bhakti. It's like a parasite. Or you're not really doing bhakti. You're just doing Krishna Karmani. It has some effect. But very, very slowly. You know, by doing some mechanical work for Krishna, eventually the mind and the heart will, oh, what am I doing? So real vaidhi bhakti means I'm also making an effort. I'm practicing with my mind and my emotions. So vaidhi sadhana means I'm doing it because I have faith in Guru, I have faith in Shastra. Prabhupada compares it to the old Indian system of marriage. Where the marriage would be arranged when they were still children. So they were not old enough to have any natural attraction for each other. But the families would visit. And they would the mother and father would say to their daughter, go bring your future husband some sweets. So she doesn't have the feeling, but she's practicing having the feeling. So Vaidhi sadhana is like that. We have some feeling. Without some feeling, we wouldn't be here. But it may not be developed. So we practice. Krishna killed Agasura. And we don't remember the story so we can explain the facts and pass an exam. But so we can think, wow, Krishna's really smart. Krishna was figured out some way to kill the demon and save his friends at the same time. And we get some emotional appreciation. And eventually it becomes that emotional appreciation is driving our behavior. And that is Raghunuga Sadhana Bhakti. Does that help you? Okay, I think now we need to go to prasadam. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.